of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, for a minute or so, I just stood there in the Guilford porch listening. Like everybody else, I thought General Guilford was dead, that he'd been killed by the Cheyennes when his regiment was wiped out. Why, there was even a monument to him in the cemetery in Minton. I'd seen it that afternoon as I rode past there.
You know as well as I do, Hannah, we can't sell the ranch and we can't move away. If we were foolish enough to try that, why...
Well, whatever the explanation was, it didn't need to concern me, and I turned and started for the buckboard. Right then, one of those cracked porch steps decided to give way. Well, I managed to keep my balance, but I'd made enough racket to drown out half a dozen conversations.
Mr. Ponson.
Oh, evening, ma'am.
What do you want? Why did you come back?
Well, I brought the things you ordered from town. I thought I'd save Mr. Traylor a trip.
Oh, I told the general you were here this afternoon. I was just talking about you, as a matter of fact.
Yes, ma'am, I know.
You know.
I heard you, and the general.
Oh.
Here, I'll help you get this stuff unloaded.
Never mind.
What?
Don't bother with it now, Mr. Ponsett. Just come into the house, please.
Now, look, Mrs. Guilford, I didn't mean to be eavesdropping.
Doesn't matter. Somebody was bound to discover the truth. I thought it would happen before this. I almost hoped it would. This way, Mr. Ponsett.
Yes, ma'am. I followed Hannah Guilford through the front door. The general was sitting on the horsehair sofa. He hadn't aged at all since I last saw him. Funny, the years had speeded up on his wife, but they'd stopped dead still for him. And when he saw me, he got to his feet and he slipped on an army blouse. And even though the cloth had been patched and mended a dozen times, the jacket was still neatly pressed. It still looked military.
Hello, Britt.
General?
He heard us talking, William. He heard your voice, too.
I see. Why did it have to be you, Britt?
Well, I don't quite understand.
Anybody else? People would say it was their imagination, or they'd heard a ghost. But they'd never say that Britt Ponsett was imagining things. They'd believe you if you told them I was still alive.
Oh, you never know what people are going to believe, General.
What difference does it make now, William? Somebody was sure to find out sooner or later.
Be quiet, Hannah. I want to think.
There's nothing to think about. We have to face the truth, that's all.
We?
I'll stand by you. Always have, haven't I?
Yes, my dear, yes. You've been very loyal. But I'm the one they'll court-martial. Not you. Not both of us.
Court-martial?
The army doesn't look very favorably on desertion, Britt.
Oh?
It was an accident, of course. It wasn't intentional. It shouldn't have happened, I know, but my being there wouldn't have made any difference. They'd have all been killed anyway, and me along with them.
I see. You weren't at the massacre, then?
No. I hadn't been feeling well for several days. I didn't know what it was, and the army doctor with us hadn't been able to help me, so I was riding for Browning when it happened.
Yes?
If I had expected the Indians to attack, if I had had any idea there were so many of them, I would never have left my men. The scouts told us only 700 or 800. They said the Cheyennes were breaking camp, preparing to withdraw. If I had known there were so many, I would never have left.
Yes, but I...
How do you think I felt when that corporal caught up with me? The only man who escaped the slaughter. How do you think I felt when he told me what had happened and then died in my arms?
Yes, well, maybe if he hadn't died, he'd been able to get help.
I went back to them. Back to my men. I saw what had happened with my own eyes. It was horrible. Mutilation. Awful. They were my responsibility, but it wasn't my fault. It wouldn't have made any difference if I had been there.
But you should have explained it to the army.
I was going to. I wanted to be sure that Hannah understood first, that she was prepared for the shock when the news came out. Then by the time I got there, it was too late.
Too late?
They were saying I was a hero, that I had died with my men, And if I had gone to the army, if I had told them my story, I wasn't sure they'd believe me. They might think I had deserted in the face of enemy fire. There was no one to back me up. No one. I couldn't go to the army. It was too late. I couldn't go to them.
So you just stayed on here hiding.
You don't know what I've gone through. Oh, I've had my punishment worse than any court-martial could give me. Living in darkness for 5 years, never seeing another person but Hannah, never talking to anybody else. 5 years without smelling fleas or feeling rain or having a cavalry horse under me.
But your wife kept claiming you were alive. You knew that, didn't you?
Of course I knew it. It was part of my plan. We had to have food enough for both of us. Clothes, me. That was the way Hannah could get them.
I say.
Tell everybody I'm alive, I said. Tell them I'm here with you. They'll only think you're crazy. Even if they should see me, if they should stumble onto the truth, they'll never believe it. My wife is a good actress, isn't she, Britt?
But no longer, not anymore, William.
What do you mean, my dear?
You said yourself folks will believe Mr. Ponsett.
I said they would believe him.
Would?
Turn up the lamp, Hannah. My eyes aren't as good as they once were, Britt. I guess eyes need lots of daylight.
Well,
Don't go yet.
What's that gun for, General?
A man changes a lot in 5 years.
Some men do.
5 years ago, if I had been forced to go back to the army, take my medicine, I'd have been able to do it. But now I can't, Britt. As miserable as I am here, as terrible as this life is, I won't give it up.
Put it away, William. Put the gun away. If you fire, if you shoot Mr. Ponson, I'll know that you've lied to me all these years. It was your fault, the massacre. I'll know that you really are a coward.
Go into the other room, Hannah. This does not concern you.
Not concern me? I loved you, William. Even after you came back, after what happened, I still loved you. Now I know, tonight I know, I don't love you any longer, any more than you love me.
Hannah.
Look at me, William. Look at my face, my hair. These 5 years have done that to me. You've done it to me.
You mustn't upset yourself, Hannah. Another year or two, we'll be able to leave Minton, live somewhere else. People won't recognize me then.
People will always recognize you. Why do you think you haven't aged? Why do you think you look just the same? It's so people will always be able to tell who you are and you'll never feel safe. That's your punishment, William Guilford.
I'm leaving now, General.
No, Britt, you're not.
Go ahead! Kill him! What's one more life to you? What's one more life to a man who left a whole regiment of soldiers to die?
Your husband's not going to kill anybody, Mrs. Guilford. He said he'd changed in the last 5 years. Well, I think he has changed. I think he's become such a coward that even the sound of a gunshot would scare him half to death.
Britt!
Being particularly brave walking out in the general like that. You can pretty much tell what a man's gonna do when he's holding a gun. The way his eyes look at you. And Guilford's eyes weren't staring at me like he meant business. I started to close the front door, and I just glanced back over my shoulder as I did it. Guilford was walking up the stairs. He was almost at the top, and then all of a sudden he kind of stumbled.
Guilford!
Oh, William! Oh, William, a doctor! Mr. Ponson, get a doctor quick!
I'm afraid it's too late for that.
No! No, it can't be!
Better let me put him on the sofa here.
William! William!
You have any brandy, Mrs. Guilford? Here now, now. Miss Guilford.
Brandy?
Yes, ma'am.
I think so. On the sideboard.
All right, I'll get it.
Yes, yes, give William some brandy and then he'll be all right. He will be all right, won't he, Mr. Ponsett?
Here, drink this.
Me? I'm not sick. It's William who's sick. It's William who needs the brandy.
The general's dead, Mrs. Gilford.
No, no, you're wrong. That's just what people think. That's what we want them to think. But he isn't dead. He's here with me. He lives here in this house.
Now you've got to get a hold of yourself, Mrs. Gilford.
Why do people keep saying the general is
now,
dead?
Come on, get a hold of yourself here.
Stop shaking me. Stop it.
But I didn't stop. I went right on shaking you harder and harder and harder until I thought you were going to faint. And then, for a second, she went limp and let out a pitiful little moan. And then she straightened up and her expression changed. It was sort of like a window curtain being pulled back from in front of her eyes.
I'm all right now, Mr. Potter.
Well, I'm sorry if I hurt you, Annie.
You had to do it. If you hadn't, I don't know what would happen.
Well, you'd better ride back into town with me and spend the night in there, and we can send somebody back here to take care of the general.
I can't, Mr. Potter. I just can't let folks find out about it.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid it's got to come out now.
Everything? That he left his men to die at the massacre? That he was ashamed to admit it? That he's been hiding here ever since? Isn't there some way we can leave him as he was? Anyway, at all?
Well, I don't know. I just, under the circumstances, it'd be
not for
pretty
myself.
Hard to...
I don't care what happens to me, what they say about me, but he, the general, had been a good soldier once, a fine soldier. What good will it do to destroy that?
Well, I know, but I... It's just... Here, you'd better be careful there, Miss Gilford.
What?
Well, that table with the lamp on it, you almost knocked it over there.
Uh-huh.
And if the lamp should get broken, you know, this whole place would probably go up in smoke before we could do anything about it.
It wouldn't matter. The ranch doesn't mean anything to me. Not now. I could never live here again anyway.
Yes, well, all the same, we have to be careful. You know, fire is very dangerous.
Yes, it is. Fire.
Now, what are you doing? Now, put that lamp down.
Fire.
Come on. Better hurry up and get out of here. Come on. Of course, they found the general's body in the ruins, but they didn't know who it was. And the report got around that it was a tramp tried to force his way into the house and she'd shot him. And the fire had been started during the scuffle. And everybody seemed satisfied by that. And as long as nobody asked me, I didn't feel obliged to volunteer any additional information. The next time I came back to Menton, By George, I could hardly recognize Hannah Gilford. She was working in Traylor's General Store. And, she looked a good 8-10 years younger than she had before. There was even talk about her and Mr. Traylor getting married. Seems that after the fire, well, she sort of got a hold of herself and faced up to the fact that the general was dead. At least that's how Traylor explained it to me. He said that the tramp breaking in on her has done some good. He showed me the fellow's grave. It was right in the shadow of the monument to General William Gilford.
Transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, and Robert Griffin. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the six-shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Tonight, play Truth or Consequences with Ralph Edwards on the NBC Radio Network.